John chapter 16, Jesus has been preparing the guys for what's up ahead of them after he leaves. He's told them that they've got some tough times ahead. They're going to be facing some heavy persecution. And he's also let them know that there will be help. There will be another helper, a comforter, the Holy Spirit. We pick it up in chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Back in verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, the New Testament is written in Greek. It's kind of street Greek is what we would call it. It was the street language of the day. And every once in a while, it's kind of fun to pull out some of these words that were in the original text and to help understand, to help unpack what he's talking about. The word here for bear, he says, you cannot bear them now. The Greek word bastazo, it means to take up in order to carry, to bear what is burdensome. There's something heavy to carry. And he's saying, frankly, you can't carry it. It's too much for you. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You can't handle it now. Now, I'm going to talk for a few minutes, and I'm calling this topic Navigating in Fog. And you're probably wondering, where does he get this? I'll try to explain. I don't know about you, but I don't particularly like driving in the fog. Do you like driving in the fog? That's one of the blessings of living up in Fullerton as opposed to being down in Newport Beach. See, how about that? See, you always wanted to live in Newport Beach. You'd be in the fog half of the year if you were in Newport Beach. So don't you glad you're in Fullerton? It's nice being up here in Fullerton. But it's tough driving in the fog. You don't know where you're going. You slow way down, don't you? Hopefully you slow way down, don't you? Otherwise, you're one of these people that are in the 20-car pile wrecks, you know, because you're not slowing down. And the problem is that sometimes our lives are like driving in the fog. And you don't see as much down the road as you wish. Jesus says, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, I'm not going to tell you everything. He's letting us know that there's going to be times where you're in the fog. We have lots of questions we want answers for. We want to know, what am I to do? We want to know what's up ahead. What's wrong with me? Maybe just why? Sound is up.
Yeah. You won't talk to me, and you won't go out with me. I say, why? Then you say, it's 'cause I work at Subway. You don't like my songs, and now I make foot long. Yes, I don't know what to say, 'cause I work at Subway.
Tell me why.
I'm not still there with my phone.
Tell me why.
I'll be 30
Is that the way you remember that song? Tell me why. Tell me why. We want to know, don't we? Tell me why. Why don't I know the answers? Sometimes the answers are pretty obvious. Because I work at Subway. No. My apologies to those of you who are gainfully employed at Subway. Sometimes I just don't want to acknowledge the truth. And it's plain. Sometimes maybe I'm just not ready to handle the information. Maybe God knows that you can't bear it. There are some injuries that are so severe, burns, head wounds, shooting victims, where it's so traumatic they keep you in a medically induced coma because the pain is so bad that they want you to be able to heal, right? It's kind of like that, isn't it, sometimes? Jesus says, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. So what do I do? How do I navigate in the fog? Let me give you three quick little things about navigating in the fog. First thing is to keep growing. I think sometimes we aren't given the answers we're looking for because, frankly, we're not mature enough. We're not in a mature enough place to receive them. You don't typically discuss algebra with a baby. Now, maybe that baby, it looks pretty smart. It looks like Albert Einstein as a child or something. You usually wait a few years before you discuss algebra with your children, right? The writer of Hebrews says this, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you against the basic things to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Maturity, growing up. The writer of Hebrews says the maturity comes when I practice, when I exercise the ability to tell right from wrong, and I do it. That's a part of growing up. I remember when one of my biggest growth spurts as an individual came when our firstborn son came along. Because we were married for 9 years before we had kids. We wanted to get some stuff out of the way before we had kids. And we waited. Boy, when our firstborn came into the world, it was like, oh my gosh, I have to grow up. We can't go out to the movies whenever we want. We can't just run down the corner and just, we can't, there's things you can't do because you have to learn to grow up. You have to learn responsibility. Navigating the fog, keep growing. Keep growing. Maybe you're not ready yet for what he needs to tell you. The answer. Number two is to keep asking. To keep asking. On a tour of Florida, the Pope took a couple of days off to visit the coast for some sightseeing. He was cruising along the beach in his Pope mobile when there was a frantic commotion just off the storm. A helpless man wearing a New York Yankee jersey was struggling frantically to free himself from the jaws of a 25-foot shark. As the Pope watched, horrified, a speedboat came racing up with three men wearing Boston Red Sox jerseys. One quickly fired a harpoon into the shark's side. The other two reached out and pulled the bleeding, semi-conscious Yankee fan from the water. Then using autographed David Ortiz baseball bats, the three Boston heroes beat the shark to death and hauled it into the boat. Immediately, the Pope shouted and summoned them to the beach. I give you my blessing for your brave actions, he told them. I heard that there was some bitter hatred between Red Sox and Yankee fans, but now I have seen with my own eyes that this is not the truth. As the Pope drove off, the harpooner asked one of his buddies, he said, "Who was that?" "Well, it was the Pope," he got the answer. "He is in direct contact with God and has access to all of God's wisdom." "Well," the harpooner said, "he may have access to God's wisdom, but he doesn't know squat about shark fishing. How's the bait holding up?" You could even be the Pope, and you don't know it all. You think you're unique because you don't know the answers to the questions you're asking? You're not unique. You're not the only one driving in the fog. We need to learn to keep asking. James writes this. He says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." There are some things, God wants you to know. And the only thing that's keeping you from the answer is the fact that you're not asking. So this is an important thing when you're driving in the fog. Keep asking. Keep asking. God's ready, and you're ready, he'll give you the answer. Number three is to keep trusting. I think there's times when God wants us to trust him, even if he doesn't give us the answers we're asking for. Hebrews 11 says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Trusting God pleases him. Trusting God pleases him. And one of the concepts of trust is that you trust him even when you don't understand, even when you don't get it, even when you don't see. That's what faith is all about. Faith is all about trusting him when I don't get it. And gang, sometimes I'm not giving you pat answers here, am I? Sorry. I have a lot of sometimes in here. But sometimes God's going to leave you in the fog because he wants you to learn to trust him. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, that was the third one. That's the one with Sean Connery as his dad, you know, and Indiana Jones is working with his pop to find the Holy Grail, the cup of Christ. And at the end of the movie, there's this set of challenges that they have to get through to get the Holy Grail. And the bad guys shoot Indiana Jones' dad so that Indiana will be forced to go through these challenges and get the cup of Christ. You remember that whole part? This is that third challenge.
His birth.
the leap of faith called it. The Bible says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. What does it mean to walk? It means to take steps. When I go for a walk, I take a lot of steps, don't I? Now, don't get me wrong. Some people are so nutty. They make all kinds of horrible decisions and say, well, I'm just trusting God, and therefore it's God's fault or something. I don't know. Be careful about this. But gang, there are going to be times when you need to simply step out and take a step. Because that's what pleases the Father. He wants you to learn to trust Him no matter what's happening, no matter what it looks like. Do you trust Him? Can you take that step? It's a big part of going through the fog here. Is faith. Next verse, verse 13. Jesus says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Now, the word that's translated guide, it says, He will guide you into all truth. It kind of sticks out as you're reading it in the Greek. Because it's an unusual word. And it's two words stuck together, hod egeo. It's the word hados, which is the word for way, and hegeo, hegemai, which means to lead into the way, to give guidance to. One of the first names that the Christian church went by was the way. This is before they were called Christians. They were called the way. In Acts chapter 9, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us in the way. He's the one who guides us in the way. And I want to just take a minute to point out this. For the Christian, this is all about the journey. Christianity is all about the journey. Living the Christian life is being on a journey. It's about moving from one point to the next. And the Holy Spirit wants to be our guide on the way. This is the challenge. Are you progressing in life? Or are you stuck? It's a hard thing that happens when you get to be my age. And you've been doing this for a little while. It's very easy to start thinking, well, you know, I've read this chapter before, or I've done this thing before, or I've been to this thing at church before. And you start getting rigid and inflexible. And instead of progressing in your walk with the Lord, instead of going deeper every day in your walk with the Lord, you're stuck. And for you, Christianity is not a journey. For you, Christianity is the destination. I have arrived. Shame on you. You have not. You won't arrive till you're in heaven. And this issue here, there is an important principle as Christians. God wants us to grow, to keep growing. You know, we do these classes on Thursday nights, and we always have a series that we repeat every year. We call it the Foundation Series. You know what? You haven't arrived when you finished the Foundation Series. You've just taken another step. We need to keep going, keep digging. You read the Scriptures and you stop hearing God after a while. Because you think you know it all. You don't. You may have gone down two or three levels in the Scripture, but I got to tell you, the Scriptures are deep. God has much to say. I have much to learn. I love this passage. I'm learning all kinds of stuff in this passage. It's great stuff. Cynics will say, it's a journey. Cynics will say, people don't change. And they'll make that point. And they say, oh, well, you know, nobody ever changes. And they observe that because actually that's a lot of truth. There's a lot of truth to that. Most people don't change. And most people will say, oh, I'll be different this time. And you know what? They're not. How many of you have been disappointed by somebody promising you, oh, I'm going to change, I'm going to change, and they don't? So you're supposed to change. That's the journey. God wants to take you from one step to the next. And as you are letting God be a part of your life, He's going to challenge the socks off of you if you let Him. He wants there to be change. There's, you know, the story of the three Lord of the Rings books, movies. I didn't read the books. I just saw the movies. Follows the adventures of Frodo Baggins as he carries that mysterious ring of power. Oh, my precious. You know, and he gets this thing and he, you know, and frankly, the first time he got the ring, I didn't think it was like that big of a thing. I know that there's the fellowship of the ring is part of the title and all this kind of stuff, but I really didn't think much of it at the beginning.
It's mine, my own.
Bilbo's ring. He's gone to stay with the elves. He's left you Bear Geld. Along with all his possessions. The ring is yours now. Put it somewhere out of sight.
Where are you going?
There are some things that I beseech you.
What things?
Questions. Questions that need answering.
You've only just arrived. I don't understand.
Neither do I.
Now, if you think that Frodo has arrived because he got the ring, wrong. Because it's three movies and hundreds of hours before he gets to his destination. The first step as a Christian starts by realizing your need for God. It starts by realizing you are a sinner. It starts by realizing that Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sins. It starts by opening your heart to trust Him, to ask for His forgiveness. But that's only the first step. It's an important step. It's a huge step. But it's just the first step of the rest of your life, the journey ahead of you. The Holy Spirit promises to be your guide. And you're not alone on this journey. It says, verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The word truth here is kind of important. Jesus uses the word twice. The Spirit's called the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. The Greek word for truth is aletheia. It's two words. The word for not, which is the a, and actually the word lanthano, which means to hide. The word truth, the concept, the Greek concept of truth is something that's not hidden. Not hidden. It's what is true in any matter under consideration. It involves truth about God. It involves freedom from deceit. The Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth. He promises to guide us into all truth. And yes, I believe this is partly talking about good theology, correct doctrine, a correct view of God. But gang, the concept of truth is bigger than just having all my doctrinal ideas correct. The idea of truth is is bigger than this. It involves correct doctrine, but it involves your whole life being a life of truth. I'm going to borrow a phrase from a friend. Rigorous honesty. The concept of cultivating truth and reality in a Christian's life is what the journey is all about. Is growing to be a man and a woman of truth. Yes, that's truth about who God is, but it's also truth about you and how you live your life. Too often we fall into the trap of thinking that the way to fix my messy life is to dig a hole and bury everything and to forget about it. I come to church and take a second here. Look around the room. Look around the room. Come on. Go ahead. Turn your heads around. Look around the room. You will see a lot of people that you will probably say, my, what a fine looking bunch of people. Wouldn't you? Yeah, well, Mary's like me. Mary knows more, some of you just like I do. And we know that that's really not the truth. Some of you are thinking, they're all a bunch of nice people, but I'm not. And so I dig a hole and I bury it. You know what, gang? The truth is, actually, there's some people in here that are pretty scary. A life of truth. The Romans had a phrase which came into our English language as the word sincere. In the Latin, it means literally without wax. Sincere, without wax. The concept comes out of the Roman marketplace where people bought and sold all kinds of items, including pottery and sculpture. The problem with both pottery and sculpture is that if they're cracked or broken, it kind of loses most of its value. You know, you can't really fix a broken pot, a broken statue, a cracked pot. It's kind of hard to fix it. So what does the merchant do? Well, the Roman merchants, the really tricky guys, came up with a way. They took a mixture of wax and some ground up pottery, clay, and they came up with a paste that they would cover the cracks with. And so when you walk into the marketplace and your sweetheart said, honey, will you go to the store? I just broke the spaghetti pot. Would you help me get a new pot? And so you go to the pottery merchant and you say, sir, do you have any spaghetti pots? And he says, oh, I have a fine one right here. And your next question is it sincere? Is it without wax? Because if it's a cracked pot that's hiding the crack, the mess, then you stick that thing, your honey, you take it home to your honey, and she starts cooking spaghetti on it, and the wax melts, and you got a mess. Sincere. Is it without wax? Is it, are you trying to hide the flaws? You know, the lawn gnome that you bought at the marketplace, his nose falls off in the middle of the afternoon because the wax melts. Sincere. Without wax. If it's with wax, you got a problem. God wants his people to be sincere. He wants us to be the real thing. And believe it or not, God actually uses cracked pots. Not wax pots. Not so much. God would prefer that we be the cracked pot instead of the waxed pot. This is truth, beloved. And the Spirit of truth wants to guide you into all truth. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:15, he says, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all things into him who is the head. Now, in context, this is partly talking about doctrine, yes. About the doctrines that the church has been going wavering back and forth. But there is a principle here, gang. Maturity, growing up, is connected to truth, to transparency, to being open. John writes in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'd like to suggest to you that at least part of what it means to walk in the light, to walk uncovered, it means I don't walk with a tent around me. It means I've got my head uncovered. I'm out in the open. I get a suntan. I'm exposed. I'm open. This is a part of what it is to be a Christian, to mature, to grow. This is what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. And sometimes it means I have to face some shame. Sometimes it means I have to face admitting the cruddy things that I do. But you know what? That shame is a huge incentive not to do it again. Huge incentive. And then when you do the right things and people see you as a person who is open, then they see, wow, you did change. Truth. Huge. Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, it says whatever he hears, he speaks, and he will tell you of things to come. The word to tell means to announce, to be a messenger in your midst. The Holy Spirit will clue the disciples in on what's ahead on the trail. Some of that involves what we might call prophetic events. Over the holidays, we did a whole series on the second coming of Christ. Those kinds of things. He will tell you what's up ahead. I believe it also involves personal revelation. We see in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 21, Paul is warned about what's ahead in Jerusalem, how he will be arrested. There are times that the Holy Spirit will give you a nudge. He will give you a clue of what's ahead. Where we need to be careful is learning to discern when God is leading me and when it's just my own desires, when it's just my own wishes. I hear this. I'm getting a little bit sick of it. When I hear somebody say, I want to do this and this and this because God has led me to do this. What can you say to that? You have to kind of say, well, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, if you're convinced that God has led you. I would prefer that we learn to say, I think God is leading me. And we'll see. We'll see whether it was God leading me or whether it was just the pepperoni on last night's pizza that gave me the funny dream. You know, we want to be open, gang, to learning and being real, and being open. Verse 14, Jesus says, He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will glorify me. He will praise. He will magnify. He will honor me. He will make glorious. He will adorn with luster me. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He will exalt Jesus, we might say. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, is to exalt Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit's at work in us, He wants to do the same thing of exalting Jesus Christ in our lives. I came across an interesting prayer of A.W. Tozer. I hope you'll pay attention to this. I hope I don't lose you in this. He writes this. O God, be Thou exalted over my possessions. Nothing of earth's treasures shall seem dear unto me if only Thou art glorified in my life. He says, be Thou exalted over my friendships. I am determined that Thou shalt be above all, though I must stand deserted and alone in the midst of the earth. He prays, be Thou exalted above my comforts. Though it mean the loss of bodily comforts and carrying of heavy crosses, I shall keep my vow made this day before Thee. And he prays, be Thou exalted over my reputation. Make me ambitious to please Thee, even if as a result I must sink into obscurity and my name be forgotten as a dream. Rise, O Lord, into Thy proper place of honor, above my ambitions, above my likes and dislikes, above my family, my health, and even my life itself. Let me decrease that Thou mayest increase. Let me sink that Thou mayest rise above. Ride forth upon me as Thou didst ride into Jerusalem, mounted upon the humble little beast, a colt, the foal of an ass, and let me hear the children cry to Thee, Hosanna in the highest. I really like that. The Holy Spirit wants to do a work in my life of exalting Jesus above all in my life. He's come to glorify Him. Last verse, verse 15, says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, He will take of mine and declare it. He says He will take of mine. You kind of get a glimpse of the Trinity at work here, don't you? You kind of get a little glimpse of the Trinity. They all share the same stuff, I'm going to call it. He says things. All things that the Father has are mine. The Father's things belong to Jesus. And Jesus is going to let the Holy Spirit take those things and share with them. Are you following me so far? It's all the same things. It's all the same stuff. So I'm calling this glorious last point, God's stuff. Okay? So we're going to call it God's stuff. Think through this with me. Did the disciples have spent the last 3 years living, walking, and talking with Jesus Christ, correct? They've been with him the last 3 years. He's been their teacher, and he's leaving. He's going to be gone, and they're getting a new teacher. Okay, think back to grade school. The teacher is sick, and they call in a substitute teacher. How thrilled were you to get a substitute teacher? Most likely you were not. That's what I recall in my grade school career. We did not always treat substitutes well. We were not always kind to substitutes. You know the tricks, you switch seats and you pretend to be somebody else and all those kind of silly things. But the point here is that even though the new teacher may be a little different, he's using the same material. He's using the same stuff. What does that mean to me? I like this guy. I really like and appreciate Pastor Chuck. I really do. I admire him greatly. He's definitely one of the pastors I would like to be like. I admire a lot about him. When we left the Baptist Church years and years and years ago to get involved with Calvary Chapel, I found that I had a problem. I used to have a pastor that I could sit down and talk to, one who knew me, one who had a relationship with me. And even though we walked into Calvary Chapel, and I felt like I knew Chuck. To be totally honest, it was only because I listened to about a billion hours of his tapes. So I knew all his stories. I knew the stories of what happened when they were struggling in Tucson, and they couldn't get the bills. They couldn't pay the bills, and all these things. I've heard all those stories. So I felt like I knew him, but to be honest, I really don't know Chuck. And he certainly doesn't know me. Not because that's his fault. I struggled. I've struggled with that. But one of the things that's hit me, you know, Chuck's got like a million people asking him questions, looking at him. People trying to be just like me. And whether you realize this or not, I think... See, some of you visited other churches and you say, this is a little teeny church. That's okay. I know I'm okay with that. But to be honest, this is way bigger than the Bible study we started, you know, 40 years ago in our, wasn't that long ago, 25 years ago in our home in Placentia. 85 years ago when we... actually, the church is kind of getting to the point where it's kind of getting a little bit big for me. Get a little uncomfortable because I don't know a lot of you. But I think of what I struggle with and then I magnify that by like 500 for Chuck. How dare I think that I can expect him to return my calls or respond to my letters? I mean, that's absolutely stupid. I'd hate to be in his shoes. One day it hit me. One day it hit me. That I don't need to get a response from Chuck Smith. Because the God he loves and the God he serves, the God he talks about, the God who leads him, actually, I know that one. And I've experienced God leading me. And teaching me and working in me. I think that's the principle here. Jesus is letting the guys know, look, I'm going to be gone. But you've got this other helper. Yeah, it's going to look like the substitute teacher. But he's got the same stuff. The same things. All that the Father has, Jesus says, is mine. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit give it all to you. It's the same stuff. There's a sense, gang, that we all have the same advantage with God. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't listen to Chuck. That doesn't mean that I don't listen to other teachers and appreciate, you know, I read Greg Laurie's, you know, devotionals every day, and I obviously get some stuff out of the A.W. Tozier stuff, you know. I listen to other people. I learn from other people. There are people a few steps ahead down the road that I can benefit from. But gang, he works in me too. And he works in you as well. I think it's great when people appreciate their pastors. But don't lose sight of this game. Please don't fall into the trap that you come here on Sunday mornings thinking that you're going to listen to me. Please don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Please come here Sunday mornings with the hope that despite all the blabbing that Rich will do, pray that you hear from God, not me. Because that's the whole gist of this verse. He wants all that the Father has is Jesus's. And the Holy Spirit gives us to you. Let's stand and pray.